I've been thinking about this song that's recently came out, Carrie Job and Cody Carnes on The Blessing. And I speak The Blessing every time after services, but I don't think people understand the power of what's being sung or said, and it just becomes this religious act of spiritual protocol in the church without any power or purpose. And I'm telling you, there is power when you speak blessing, and there's power when you understand and have it spoken over you. And I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. I want you to get your Bibles, and I want you to get your family together. If you're a married couple, you're a single person, you're by yourself, I want you to take this all in, because you're blessed. If your kids are with you, we're getting ready to have a blessing spoken over you. But, you know, people can speak things, but if you don't know the power of it, it doesn't mean anything. So I want you to understand the power of what God speaks over you. So I want you to go with me to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And some of you have heard this in church, and or when you went to church and a priest got done and he said this, but you just said, okay, that just means we get to go to Taco Bell now. But you didn't understand the power of this. I want you to hear what God told Moses to instruct the priests to say over the people in the Old Testament. I want you to see this. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and verse 26. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, you just think about that. He would tell these Old Testament pieces. It's called the people... Theologians call it the Aaronic blessing, where Aaron and the priests would lift up their hands, and they would lift their hands toward the people of God. They'd lift them toward heaven, and then they would speak this blessing over people. And I don't know about y'all, but I think we cheapen the word blessing. I think we cheapen it. We just throw it around too much. Oh, you know, I'm blessed. You're blessed. You know, how you doing? I'm blessed. You sneeze, people say God bless you. Maybe not now they say God bless you. They say back up 6 feet, put on a hazmat suit and a mask. You know, that's what they might say now. But people just say, well, God bless you, you know. Let's say we have a rousing service. You know, when we get together, you know how we get together all together, you know, even here, and you have worship, and boy, you can feel the presence of God, and everybody's emotions get higher and higher, and the church service is getting rousing, and people get louder and louder, and they say, that people say, how was church today? And people say, oh, I got blessed. That's code language. That's code language for, I felt something good. I feel better. I feel better. But there's got to be something more than feeling better. You need to understand that God is in the blessing business. He wants to bless you. Now, I talked earlier about becoming blessable. But first of all, you need to understand that God is in the business to you understanding and wanting to be blessed. So I want to give you just three things real quick, okay? And I want us in sometime in this service time, I want them to sing that song, The Blessing. And I believe something's going to come down right where you're sitting, you and your family, and you're going to feel the presence of God blessing you and the people around you. I just believe that. Lord really spoke to that. But I want you to see something in The Blessing. Here's the first thing we'll see is the favor of God. Okay, I want you to see the favor of God. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 and 24 says, say to the people, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. See, God's will for your life is to be blessed. Now, I know some of you are going, boy, that's just, no, hear me. God wants you to be blessed. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. You don't believe me. Let's believe the word of God. How about that, okay? Look what God says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. It's talking about protection and provision. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in you. Do you, y'all getting this, what God's trying to say to us? You getting this? What he's saying to you is, would you please expect me to bless you? Would you be looking for it? I'm just going to say it. You need to expect to be blessed. Now, I know some of you are going, okay, that's okay. You're one of those prosperity guys and all this stuff. And you know, hold on. Just hang on a second. when we say expect to be blessed, to be healed, or expect to be prospered, there's some people who actually think you're arrogant, you're cocky, or and you may have seen of abuse. I'm not going to deny that there are people that have abused this to leverage for their own personal blessing and not becoming blessable and just hoarding it for themselves. I get that. But I'm not one of them, and neither of these folks here. And neither are you. But I want you to hear something. People think it's cocky, it's crazy to say, expect God to bless you, look for it, ask for it, expect it. And then people say, well, you're just arrogant. But I'm gonna tell you, if I did this, what if I did this? What if I said, boy, this coronavirus thing, I don't think we're ever gonna come out of it. And you know what? If the economy doesn't reopen, we're going broke. I think the economy's gonna go down. The economy's bad. If I said that, no one challenges it. We hear it 24/7 on the news, and no one challenges the negative information. No one ever looks at them and says, you lack faith, you need to be positive about what God says. Nobody does that. But when somebody says and speaks what God says over you and over me, that God says, I want to bestow honor and grace and favor, I want to bless you if you seek me with all your heart, why is it okay for people to talk negative, but it's not all right for me to talk to you to speak positive, or me to speak positive? Why should people get away with saying how bad life is and how everything's going down, and then challenge when somebody says, God's gonna bless you, God is gonna overcome? Well, I'm gonna tell you something. I believe it's time for us to start changing our language by taking in what God is saying. I can be just as positive as anybody out there can be negative. And I choose to be positive and believe God wants to favor you and he wants to favor me. Come on, you ought to just clap right there in your house, amen? They believe that. So when those priests came out there, here's just, let me show you, in the Old Testament, the priests would come out, the Old Testament priests, and they would lift their hand and they spoke the blessing. They spoke the blessing over Israel. And when the priests would lift their hands toward heaven, when they'd lift their hands up above their head, the meaning of this was that these words aren't coming just from a priest, but through a priest. They're coming through it. They're not from him, they're through him. God is saying this himself. And so the verse 27, number 627 says, it says that, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Let me tell you how much they believe this. Back in 1979, they found two small silver scrolls, just small. They were 2,600 years old, and they were silver scrolls, and they were found in the Hinnom Valley in Jerusalem in 1979. They found it, archaeologists found it. And what they discovered that it was the priestly blessing that I just read to you. And it was so significant that people would actually wear it around their neck on a leather strap over their heart, saying, I know that God's blessing is on my life. This is how powerful it was, because it didn't come from the priest. It doesn't come from me. Careless what I say, he says, the Lord blesses you. The Lord blesses you. The Lord blesses you. The Lord blesses you. And I know some of us go, oh man, just, you know, that just seems, you know, you should be more humble about this. No, God said it. In fact, the word bless there in the Hebrew, the word bless there is the word barak, barak, B-A-R-A-K, barak. It means to kneel. It means to kneel. This is what's crazy. It means to kneel, to bless, or to be blessed. Someone to bless you, to bless you. It says the Lord blesses you. And that word was first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 1:22 at creation, where it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And it means also not just to bless or be blessed, but it means to get on bended knees. And what the picture of that word was describing a servant who bends on his knees in respect to his master. He brings himself down. All right, come on, guys. You remember when you proposed? You remember, you get down on one knee and you bring yourself down and you serve the one that's gonna be your bride. So you come down. See, now, in blessing us, God is saying, I don't have to do this for you, but I bless you. I get down on bended knee, if you will, to those who ought to be my servants. And I come and I bring myself down low to bless you. So God blesses us, and guess how he did? He brought himself, God with skin on, came down in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and bent down to dirty, filthy, sinful earth. And he bent down. Look what Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Look how he even says it. Let me show you. God's bending down. He says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Watch this. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. When you hear the Lord bless you, God says, I am coming down as a slave, the almighty, holy, righteous, pure God to sinful you, Sam Reifkogel, and I bend down. All you always find God is he's bending down, he's bending down, he's bending down. When he came in a manger, he came down on bended knees. When he sat with sinners, when he sat with tax collectors, when he sat with prostitutes, when he sat with wicked men who wanted to seek, find God, he came down on bended knees while the religious crowd said, how can you eat with these sinners, these prostitutes? Jesus said, I've been down. See, the reason why so many people in the world and even America can't find God is they put him up so high. You usually can't find him because he's usually down on his knees washing feet and having a towel and drying the other disciples' feet. That's why you can't find him. He's always bending down. When they crucified him on the cross, he's bending down. Now, I don't know what perception you have that somehow God won't come down to where you are in your sinful nature, that somehow God has forgotten you, but I want you to get this. Do you get this? Do you get this? He desires so much to bless you and me that he stepped out of heaven and he bent down on his knee on the cross. Do you get that? He bent down to the overlooked people. He looked out to the disenfranchised. He goes to the poor. He goes to the rejected. He goes to the sinner. Do you understand that he gets down and he bends down? He says, I'm coming to you. You can't get to me, so I'm coming down to you. I want to bless you. Do you get that? Do you get that? He did it to come down to save you. You know, you gotta stop running. I don't know what religious crowd you were influenced by that told you that God, you're not good enough and God will never let you in and you're too big of a sinner. I'm telling you, he bent down. He keeps coming down to bless you and he wants to bless you with salvation. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. I tell you what, you know, in fact, right now, I'm not gonna wait till the end of this message. There's some of you right now that the light just came on to you just in this moment. You've messed up in your marriage. You've messed up in your life. You've messed up. You feel like I've been a failure at business. I've lost everything. My kids don't love me. My husband don't love me. My wife doesn't love me. There's no, if my parents ever found out I did, they will all reject me. Let me just tell you something right now. He is bending down low to come get you right now. And we can't pass this moment for you to stay there 1 second longer when God says, I bent down to pick you up. We can't stay here 1 second longer. You can't stay there 1 second longer. Right now, if you say, Pastor Hutz, I'm feeling that. God sent me to you and he sent you to me to tell you it's time for you to start being picked up by him. So right now, if you're watching here and you're going, I need Jesus, I want you to give your life to him right now. I mean, right now, do it right now. Let's not wait till the end of the special, let's do it right now. In fact, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you're going to see it right there on your screen on the online campus. It says, raise your hand. I want you to hit that, raise your hand. You just say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to come back to Jesus. I'm ready to come back, Pastor Sam. I want you right now, just hit the raise your hand. Go ahead, right now, just hit that. Just hit that. Some of you right now that are watching on different platforms, just text the word forgiven to 24587 because you're getting ready to give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Right now, you're going to do it. You say, what do I got to do? I got to give you money or anything like that? No, you just need to give your life to him. And I want you to just say this prayer because Jesus said, if you'll just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe that Christ, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just got to ask him into your life. So right now, I want you to ask him, just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life completely to you. I'm not running from you. I'm tired of the shame, the condemnation, and I'm ready to sell out to you. I give my life to you, Jesus. I receive the power of your blood. You were God with skin on. You lived a sinless life, and you died on that cross to get me, to save me, to make me clean. I receive it right now, Jesus. You're my Savior, and I'm your child. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You just got favor. You just received the favor and the forgiveness of God right now. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, the pastors are there. Tell them, say, I need more prayer. Just tell them right there. Text me the word forgiven at 24587. Just do it right now. And I'm going to help you keep walking this journey, because I'm telling you, he just doesn't want to save you. He wants to bless you. So first of all, I want you to know the favor of God comes down to bless you. Now look at this. He didn't just want to bless you and give you favor and salvation and come down to you. He says, I want to be your fortress. I want to be your protection. I want you to see the fortress of God. He says, for the Lord bless you. And he says, and the Lord keep you is what it says. The Lord blesses you and the Lord keep you. That word keep you there in the Hebrew is the word shamar, which literally means to guard, watch this, to keep watch and to protect. So God is watching over you, but he's not just watching you. He wants to protect you. He wants to guard you. And it literally means to put a hedge about with thorns. It means to put a hedge about with thorns. Now that's a little bit difficult. What does that mean, Pastor Sam? Well, let me explain that. When the shepherds were in the wilderness during that day and they would have their flocks, he would construct a corral, and the corral was usually made out of thorn bushes, and he would weave it, he would put it around there, because they had to make a makeshift corral. And the reason why he did that was to keep predators from coming through to steal and devour the sheep, so that predators would not come through those thorns. He would put a protection to guard them. But it wasn't only just to protect them. The thorns on the inside of the corral was to keep the sheep in the corral. And when you start getting convicted, when God starts dealing with you about sin, he's trying to keep you in the corral. When he starts speaking about attitude, when he starts speaking to you about closet conduct and basement behavior that nobody knows about, and you can't sleep at night, you're thinking about all the time, what is he doing? His favor of blessing is just hitting you to keep the sheep in the pen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to get outside the pen, because on the other side of the pen are the predators, are the wolves, and he knows it. You don't know. You say, I just want to be free. You know, we get that prodigal son mentality. We get that prodigal son. But the moment we leave the fence of the Father, the moment we say, I want mine, I'm going to do what I want, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what Jesus says, that's when you find yourself a wreck. Because he knows on the other side of that corral are the predators, and he convicts us to keep us in, and he uses the thorn to keep the enemies out. Listen, he wants to keep you, everybody. He wants to protect you. Do you get that? Come on, look at Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. He says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Come on, that's what he's wanting to do. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Come on, look at Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Look at Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and be saved. Come on, stay inside of the hedge of protection. He says, I want to keep you, shamar. I want to keep the enemy out, and I'm watching over you. That's the fortress of God, the protection of God. So when we say the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, we are saying stay in when he's convicting you. Deal with it. Stay inside where he is, because there's his protection, his provision. But he didn't stop there. Come on, let's go to Numbers 26 and verse 25. I want to talk to you about his face, because there's something about God's face. And I want you to look at this. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and he gives you peace. That word shine there, it literally means to become light or to illuminate, to be or become light, to illuminate. He says, I want to light your path. My word is a lamp unto you, a light. I don't want you to be in confusion. He says, I am the light. That light dwells in you, so you become the light, because the light of God, Jesus himself, is in you, and he starts illuminating your path. And he says, I want to shine on it. Oh, my goodness. you know, I love everything about Michigan. I love everything about it except those perpetual days of no sunshine that happen sometimes. But isn't it amazing how all of us just change when the sun starts shining in Michigan? I mean, there can be clouds for days, and all of a sudden you're saying, Lord, just give me some sunshine, and you just stand by the window, and you're soaking up all the vitamin D. You just get, you know, even on the coldest day, your car gets warmed up inside. Even on the coldest day, something happens on the inside, even when the outside is bad, because the light is shining in. I mean, you can be in the bitterness of a bitter marriage, but if you stay in the light of His face, you can stay the warmth of the Spirit on the inside while the elements on the outside are just freezing cold. Boy, when that sun shines, the grass gets a little greener. Come on, flowers are brighter. Everything's popping up. Sun goes away. Everybody needs a prayer line or a counseling session, one or the other. Gets warmer, people start smiling. If you can get past the mask, you can see they're smiling. You know, the body feels better. Doesn't it changes everything. Everything starts changing. Why? Because He says to shine means to be light, to become light, to illuminate. There's not confusion. Actually, there's peace. He says to make His face shine upon you and to be gracious to you. He said the Lord lift His countenance upon you and He gives you peace. You know that word for peace there in the Hebrew is the word shalom, shalom. And that word peace there means completeness. Watch this, completeness, soundness, welfare. That word peace there meant prosperity and contentment. It wasn't just peace. Oh, om. That's not what it was. It was completeness. That means that you can be living all by yourself and have the presence of God and still feel complete, even though you may not have somebody with you. You can be in peace when you're sitting there saying, I need to get out. And the soundness of mind is right there, not confusion. The welfare of provision and prosperity, the contentment of where you are. You might be laid up in a hospital. You might be dealing with a sickness. You might be dealing with an issue with your child. And when you get in the light of His presence, it's not just He is the light. The light gets in you. You become a part of that light. The light of God is in you. There starts to be a contentment in you. There starts to be a direction in you. And He gives you peace in the midst of the storm. The depression begins to go away. He begins to be that light. He illuminates. Come on, I love what Psalm 27 and verse 1 says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Watch this. You get in His light. Guess what? Whom shall I fear? If you will stay in the presence of His light and know that He blesses you to receive the smile of His face, He said that fear starts fading. It goes away. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wow. So when I start living in fear, I mean, I'm serious. When I start stressing and panicking over things, now I'm not telling you that I treat things just, you know, I'm real trivial about things. That's not me. I don't just sit there and just make, you know, just try to make light of it. But there comes a point in my life and in your life where you go to say, I cannot fear the future. I'm not going to fear even death. I'm not going to fear circumstances. I'm not going to fear financial issues. And I believe that it's directly, our fear is directly related to our lack of being in the presence of the light. The problem is that we can follow false light. Follow false light. Doesn't the Bible say that Satan can appear as an angel of what? Light. So that means that I could feel a sense of completeness, a sense of momentary contentment. I could feel soundness for this moment. I can feel complete because I've got this person in my life because you've made that person your light. But take that person out of your life and you start acting like you're a nobody, you're a zero. They left you. I've done something wrong. Nobody wants me because they are false light. Could it be that we're saying we'll put money and I made money, I made the corporate ladder, but now you just lost your job. And now you're just thinking, I just want to end my life. There's no way I can provide for my family. My family thinks I'm a loser because now I've lost my job. Could it be that that money became false light? And in that moment, you felt like you were somebody because of your prosperity. You felt contentment because this one area of your life was being satisfied. But when it's taken away, you start discovering that was false light. It was not the light. What's interesting that God says this about him being the light, his face shining on you. What's interesting about this is that the ancient world, often they worshiped the sun. You study any of the ancient history, ancient worlds, many of them worship the sun. And that's the reason why God's role as creator of light is so stressed. Because people were going after false light. And that's why Jesus said in John 8:12, this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's real living. It's him. It's him. And maybe the reason a lot of this stuff is happening around you and around me is that God wants you to realize that that's something he may bless you with, but that is not the light. That is not the light. It's false light. And he is the light. And anybody that walks with him never fears, never confused, never walks in the darkness, and lives in real life. Because see, even we learned this in high, come on, we learned this in junior high or middle school, that light is the source of all biological life. That's what we learned, didn't we? Come on, photosynthesis. You know, the conversion of light energy into chemical energy by living organisms. That's what we were taught. We believe that, but we don't believe that he's the light. In other words, light becomes food is what that taught. Light actually becomes food. Light is the basis for the whole world. Light is the whole basis. And the reality is this, without him, you don't have any food. Without him, you don't have any completeness. Without him, you don't have peace. Without him, you don't have soundness of mind. Without him, you don't have welfare. Without him, you don't have prosperity. Without him, you don't have contentment. Because those things are not the source of light. He is. Amen? He is. So I'm going to tell you today, we're gonna close today with that blessing song. I just felt the Holy Spirit said, I want you to let them sing that blessing song, and I'm going to rain down. I just really felt like the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to literally just rain down in homes. They're gonna feel my presence come down into their homes. So I want you to get ready for this. I really believe this. Something powerful is gonna happen with this blessing. Some of you just gave your heart to the Lord a moment ago. You're gonna sense the power of his presence in a real felt way right where you are. You're gonna sense that. And I know some of you are going, oh, I just don't feel like I deserve it. Take my word, take God's word for it. He wants to bless you. His face is shining on you right now just because you're listening. His face is shining. His countenance is turned towards you right now. He's smiling. You know how that is. Come on. You got your kid, your grandkid, 3 years old. They're playing soccer, going the wrong direction. They're making all the wrong moves, but all they're doing is looking back at you, Grandpa, to see if you're smiling at him and cheering him on. That's what you're looking for. Your kid's just looking for that. Your kid could be playing the game totally wrong, going the wrong direction. Kicked it into somebody else's field goal, but they're always looking back at you to see, Mom, Dad, do you approve? Looking for that smile. Let me tell you what now, your Heavenly Father's looking down right now and he's smiling on you. Seek me, follow me, make me the true light. Quit going to false light. I may bless you with these things, but they're not your light. He says, I am the light. I'm the source of all your food, your spiritual food. So come on, you ready to be blessed? Come on, let's all stand up. Y'all ready for this? I can feel this right now. And as they sing that blessing song, I want you just to get in your home, get free. Kids, I want you to just get some freedom. Just get some freedom in your home. Just get some freedom in your house, okay? And I want you to stand with Mom and Dad, and I want you just to start lifting your hands, okay? Start saying, don't worry about your parents. Now, Lord, as this song goes forward, release the power of your blessing over every single person right now worshiping you. Come on, let's bless. Let's bless the Lord as he blesses us. To you, the Lord turn his
shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turned his face toward you and gave you peace. We sing amen.
Children, may his favor be upon you.
for us. He's for you. 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 I'm telling you, there is a power of the Holy Spirit in your home right now. There is the felt presence of God right where you are right now. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray even now that there come blessings they were not even expecting today. Lord, I pray even now that someone in the house is healed right now. They've been dealing with something, and instantaneously, Father, miracles are happening right there in their home right now. Holy Spirit, let that favor just pour out upon their children. You're for them, Lord. You're for them. You're not against them. You're for them. Devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. God's favor's on their life. You're a liar. And the truth is that God loves them, and he's pouring out favor because they're seeking after him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna admonish you, mom and dads, to do something, whether you're a single parent raising kids by yourself or you have little ones. I don't care how old they are, but if they're living under your house, I want you to do something, something that I did with my kids since they were born. One of my first priorities as a father, when I discovered the power of speaking blessing, is I would lay my hands upon Nathan and Sarah, and I would command that blessing that I taught about, I speak that over their lives. And I want you to start learning that, parents. I want you to start learning that. Not just rote, not just some spiritual church protocol. I want you to know the power of that blessing and speak it over them. Because there are power in your words and power in the word of God. And the devil is a liar. God wants to favor you. And some of you feel like you've messed up too bad. And if you're just now coming on right now and you say, I messed up too bad, God won't forgive me, I want you to hit that raise your hand button again right now. And one of our pastors that are right there, they'll lead you in the prayer. They'll tell you, they'll lead you in just saying a prayer. They'll type it out and you just start praying that prayer. They're going to lead you right now. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. You just hit that. Because Jesus Christ is bringing his favor of salvation and so much more with it. Amen. Oh, hadn't been a great day in the house of God. Amen. Isn't it great? I mean, the devil's a liar. He couldn't keep us apart, could he? Amen. And he can't stop the blessing from coming on you. His blessing's on you. So now, why don't you go ahead and, if you're there with somebody else, put your hand on them. Come on, just put your hand on them right there. And in your home right there, with your wife, your kids, put your hand on your dad, your mom. Dad, why don't you do it there? Just put your hand on your family. And you may not know it yet, but I'm going to speak it. If you do know it, speak it out with me. But I want you to learn it, and I want you to start today. Let's start speaking what God is saying over your family and your household. Let's say it. Now I declare over you, the Lord blesses you, and the Lord keeps you. His face shines on you. He is gracious to you. He lifts his countenance upon you, and he gives you peace because you are his child, whom he loves and highly favors. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Oh, what a day. Amen. Come on, let's praise God. I love you. Pastor Brenda loves you. We love you. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next time.